Good morning. Yeah, everybody look around. Give somebody a wave. Somebody around there that's close to you, put a smile on your face, on their face, and not that typical face either. Not that. Give them that good. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to be able to have the opportunity to be in the house of the Lord today, because you know what? By the grace of God, we're here today. Amen. Hey, if you're part of our online audience, be sure to say hello to somebody that's along the way that you know. Give somebody a wave. You know, you have all kinds of those emojis. You can do that as well. But once again, we're glad that you have chosen to be here with us today. I'm just getting ready to say something that almost sounded like the airline. We know you have your choice in travel. Thank you for choosing us today. Well, we know that you have a choice of places where you could go to worship, but we're glad that the Lord has sent you here today so that we have that opportunity to be able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Let's look to the Lord in a prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful, we're thankful for this opportunity that you have given us. And Lord, I just pray that we will never take for granted the opportunity that you give us to be able to come together for the common cause of Christ and the common cause of being able to worship you today. Now, Lord, we realize that in each and every heart, in each and every life, there are things that are going on. The world just seems to collapse in around us. But Father, we pray that for these few moments this morning that you will give us the opportunity to put aside everything that may hinder us from hearing you today. Lord, may you give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say, that we might be drawn closer to you. And Father, as always, we pray that if there's one that doesn't know you, that today would be the day that they would give their heart, their life to you, that they may be different from this moment forward. So, Father, this is your time. Help us to honor you in it. Lord, may we lift up our voices and gather around the Scripture in a way that's pleasing to you. That's what we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I got a couple of really good things. First of all, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for your heart for missions, and what you have done in regard to our Cuba team. Now, you'll notice that you're going to see some of us that look like we all shop in the same place because we're wearing, this is actually our Cuba shirt. So y'all get to see the front, you guys get to see the back. This is actually the shirt that we're essentially required to wear when we go in and when we come out of Cuba. That's a way that they identify who we are, either to pick on us or not pick on us. It just kind of depends on who you are and what's going on that particular day. But this lets the folks there know that this is our team from North Carolina. And over the years, it's actually been a really good thing because they've known our track record is that we're not there to do any hurt or harm. And it's been a godsend. This shirt has not changed in 20 years. So, yeah, it's like I say, I got like a whole drawer full of them. But at any rate, these are our team shirts. The thing that I wanted to let you guys know, you all did such a great job. We have met and exceeded the goal for what we wanted to be able to carry to support the ministries that we have supported over the past 18 years as we have been going. We are excited. I also want to say that God is continuing to do some pretty cool things. One of our team members is actually like an elite platinum member with American Airlines, and I love his heart. His heart was, you know, I'm not taking the automatic upgrade to first class because I'm going with a team. I appreciated that, and I'm sitting there going, take the upgrade, that means you get an extra bag. But at any rate, he had a conversation with them at American Airlines this past week, explained what was going on. They have moved all of our team members over to his elite platinum status. We will now save around over $1,000 in luggage because we won't have to pay anything. Isn't God good? I mean, that's just, one of the ways that God works. That is going to allow us to use that money towards ministry as we go to Cuba. We know that God has everything already squared away, who we're supposed to see, how we're supposed to see them. He's already led in hearts. And I can't tell you, man, what a blessing it is for Central Baptist Church to be a part of this. I know that you all will not understand on this side of glory all of the things that you've done But I know that we've had folks that are willing to step on the mission field, to get on that airplane, to go over there. But it's taken all of us working together, everybody who has stayed back here, everybody who prays for us as we go, who prays for us every day. We cannot do without that. You know, the little cards, the things that are sent, the different areas of ministry. I'm trying to figure out right now, and I'm thankful for the extra bags that we're going to be able to take, because people have been led just in some of the things that I've said. A good friend of mine that's like my brother, the doctor up in West Virginia, he has sent me, I think, 1,000 rolls of 6-inch gauze and some medications for the retirement center. And, you know, all I can say is God has led hearts. It's hard for us to take stuff. It's easier for us to be able to finance those things once we get there, but there are certain things that they can't get. We're going to really look funny going in with 4 tires. That's going to be a real treat. You know, we're hauling tires in extra bags. But one of the things that's been kind of historic for us to do is to introduce to you our team that's going. So what I want to do is I want to have our team come forward, and then we're going to have a time of passing the baton. We're going to have our mission prayer of commissioning for our team. We will actually be leaving this coming Friday morning. We'll meet up at Piedmont Triad International Airport at 5. Our flight leaves at 7. We have a layover for a few hours in Miami, and we will continue on into Santiago. Now, coming back, we will have to come back on the following Thursday and have to overnight in Miami one night. We used to have to do that going down. Now we have to do that on the way back. But at least we'll be back on terra firma a week from this coming Thursday. So we'll keep folks posted on what's taking place and what's going on and all the good things that God's going to do, because you guys are going to be praying for us, right? By name, pray for our health, but pray for God to do some great and incredible things. He has never, ever let us down. This is one of the coolest things when you go on a mission trip, and I want to tell you why. You pray for God to work, and God's on a time clock. He's on His time clock, but He's on a time clock. And within 7 days, you're going to see God moving in some incredible ways. And that's a pretty cool feeling. And God has never, ever let us down. So with that, I want to introduce you to our team members so you get a chance to see them and then have an opportunity to have our commissioning prayer for them. So Ken Allred. Ken is a returning veteran. Come on down. Yeah, we want you to come on down. We want the whole world to be able to see you, know who you are. Ken has been on numerous trips with us down to Cuba. So he's an old veteran. And we look so forward to the opportunity of being back on the field again. Mike Stone, as Mike makes his way down, Mike has, the first time I ever met Mike Stone, this is the guy that I've mentioned before, first time I ever met him in life was at San Juan Hill in Cuba, only to find out that he and Sandy started coming to our church, and we started promoting the Cuba trip. And he's like, "Do you remember meeting a guy who spoke English at San Juan Hill?" And I was like, "Yeah, how can you forget that?" He goes, "That was me." So meet him in Cuba, only to find that he lives within a half a mile of the church. Man, what a great time. Mike has continually been with us, and was actually going with another team even before he started going with us. So Mike is 20-plus years, I would say, or right at 20 years, going to Cuba. We look forward to having him with us. I want to go ahead and mention Jim Scott. Jim Scott is one of our new rookies. He is actually the pastor of Awakened Church that's meeting next door right now. He is coming on board to go with us on this particular trip. And I also want to say that I'm grateful for Awakened Church. Awakened Church actually took care of Jim's passage to go on this trip, and put in today, it is put in there, that Awakened has contributed $3,000 to this trip as well. So what a joint effort. They are having their 10th anniversary today next door. That's why Jim is not with us, but he is here in spirit. But we'll pray for him as well. Another cast member, one of our new rookies, Steve Kelly. Steve, come on down. This is Steve's first trip going with us. I don't think it's his first mission trip, but it's his first trip going with us to Cuba, and we're so grateful to have Steve along. Look forward to how God's going to use him along the way, and I'm real excited for each and every one of the guys. Another veteran along the way, Jeff Williard. Jeff, come on down. Jeff's been with us on a couple of occasions. Jeff is one of our leading guys when it comes down to digging a hole. Jeff leads. He is a great leader in digging a hole with a tool-like substance. I can't really call it a shovel or a pick. They are shovel-like things and pick-like things. That's really what they are. 1, 2, 3, 4. Jim is 5. And then, of course, yours truly, I am number 6. That's about our average size team that we look forward to taking down. And I want to do this real quick. I know there's a couple others in here. Who all in this congregation has been to Cuba before? Stand up with me if you would. Blake's in the back. Jimmy is down here in the front. Jimmy has been with us to Cuba on a couple of different occasions, and they know our heart. And I know right now they wish they'd be getting on that airplane with us at this coming time. I'm gonna ask this real quick. You guys spread out a little bit. I mean, yeah, just spread that fan out a little bit. Because if your spouses, significant others, come on down and join. Join your guys here. Don't be shy. Come on down. Come on down. Sandy, Jana, don't make me call you out. There's Mari. Mari's the one who knows the numbers very well. She will tell you. I know last week I had a conversation with her because I was not understanding the financial end of things because I'm not that guru. And Mari, God love her heart, has the patience of Job. Because she has explained it, and I still don't understand it, but you know what? I trust her, and I trust what we're doing. So at any rate, I'm grateful for those folks that are in our lives. And I'm going to have Blake come on down here for just a second. On the front, back years ago, back in, I believe it was 2002, our church took on a challenge. Stop right there, bud, right there at the front row, the box. We took on a challenge that was issued to us by the Southern Baptist Convention. And that box that you see that's being held there is made by, to me, one of, I would call it our mission mentors. And I still get choked up when I think about him, but Wayne Covington built that box. Wayne Covington loved missions. He was certified in everything that disaster relief had to offer. I mean, from water purification, chaplaincy, he did everything. And there towards the end of his life, all he wanted to do was serve the Lord and be on mission. And he built that box. And the reason that's special is because within that box, go ahead and open it up, bud, is the mission baton. Now, some of you all have seen that before, but you've seen a relay race before. And in the relay race, you run a leg of the journey, and then you get to an area where you hand that baton off to somebody else who runs another leg of the journey. So since 2002, we have we took on the charge to send mission teams out into the mission field, not just support financially, but to go. So one of the symbols of running a leg of that journey is the mission baton. So what we're going to do, as normal, what we'll do, and I'm going to let Blake give it to Ken, so you can take it back away from him later. Ken is obviously one of our team members for the 2023 Cuba team. He is taking that baton as representation of us running this leg of the missions journey. It's been such a great, great time. And a lot of times what we do is we'll have the team, somebody from the team that went and came back will hand off to the next team. Well, we've been on hiatus for a couple years. This is an exciting day for me. This is an exciting day for our church. And the reason why is this is the first mission team to hit the field since the pandemic hit. In fact, the last team that went, we got back just days before the world shut down because of the pandemic, and this will be the first team that we've had an opportunity to send out overseas, okay? Now, that doesn't take away from anything that we're doing here in our backyards, but this is our first overseas mission team or even out-of-the-state mission team that we've had an opportunity to send since the pandemic hit. And I want us to take this opportunity to pray for these guys and to pray for this team as we prepare to leave this coming week. We're going to go over there to dig the well. Now, I want you to hold on to that statement for a moment, because in just a few minutes, we're going to spend some time in Scripture, and that's going to become even more important. You're going to understand what that means. So what I'd like to do, David, if you would, David, our associate pastor here at Central Baptist Church, I'd like to ask David if he would come and offer our prayer of commissioning for our Cuba team as I join my family with our team.
All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much that you love us enough to allow us to be involved in the ministry. Lord, I want to lift up this team to you this morning. God, many of these guys have been time and time again, and they know what to expect, and some do not. But Lord, you already have a plan for these men. Lord, I pray that you'll just pour your Spirit out in their lives. Keep them safe. Give them good passage. Great opportunity for ministry while they're in Cuba. And Lord, watch over their families while they're gone. Lord, we look forward to having them back and hearing them share the wonderful miracles that you've worked. And God, you've worked miracles every time they've been. So we want to ask you in faith to do that again, Lord. Watch over these men, bless them, fill them with your Spirit, and empower them to do what you already know needs to be done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Choosing the songs today, thinking about our team, how they are trusting the Lord and obeying and going out into the mission field. And then also for our second song, thinking about Set My Soul Afire as we think about revival. So if you would please join me as we sing Trust and Obey, hymn number 447. Please stand as we sing.
Unhindered by quarrels.
Amen. Hey, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Genesis chapter 26. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn on over to that passage with me, Genesis chapter 26. That's an easy one to find. That's like right there in the very front part of the Bible, man. What a blessing that is. It's easy to find. And another blessing, while you're looking for that, it's good to have Sandy back with us, man. She's sitting back there smiling. You know, I'm still having a little trouble talking, but I know what this means. It means I'm keeping my eye on you. It is a blessing to have her her back with us and see her smiling face. She's not there yet. You keep praying for her, but before long, she'll be telling everybody what to do in that kitchen, and she'll be back up on. Randy's sitting there going, "Uh-huh, yeah, already been there." But thank you for your continued prayers for her, and it's so good to see her today. You know, when we look at these Old Testament passages, and really, yes, sir. Oh, where's Nancy? Oh, okay, I see you. You're hiding. Nancy, it's been a while since Nancy's been with us, man. It's good to see you, darling. Quit hiding behind people like that. I got to be able to see you. You're in your place. I just couldn't see you. And Mr. Carl. Mr. Carl's over here with a thumbs up. Man, this is a blessing already today, isn't it? We're seeing all kinds of folks that we haven't had a chance to see in a while because of illness. Hey, God is good. And all the time. God is good, man. That's what I love about it. Good to see you folks back with us. Like I say, I saw Sandy back there because I know she's keeping an eye on me. But the rest of you folks, man, it is so good to see you. Mr. Carl, I know it's been a while, buddy. And Nancy, yeah, continue to pray for them. Just because they're here doesn't mean that we can quit praying for them. We continue to do so. Today we're going to look at a passage, and I'm just going to spend a little bit of time in one particular verse, because I think that it's important. And this just really stuck out to me because as we prepared to get ourselves ready to go back to Cuba, there's one thing that has crossed my mind, and it's a standard joke, but it's the truth. Every time we have ever been, you know, people say, well, what are we going to do when we're there? What type of work are we going to be doing? We never know. But I have come to the conclusion that after 18 years, there's one thing I can tell you that we're going to do, and that is dig a hole. I don't care what else is going to be happening. We're going to dig a hole somewhere. There have been times when we've dug holes literally that were been working in a hole that was 30 feet deep that OSHA would have a fit. There have been times when we've dug little holes and big holes and every size holes. And I know it's been a Dr. Seuss week. You could make a story out of holes that we've dug when we were over in Cuba. Now, I also remember one time when we were there, they took us down to a place and they said, we need you to dig right here because we are going to be digging a well. Now, I know Jeff Williard probably got a little scared. He's like, what are you talking about digging a well? He's like, man, can I back out now? Yeah, can I back out yet? Jeff dug a hole in 6 feet deep. He was hitting dried up paint from where we had hit it before. That's like hitting a rubber band. But they took us down there one time and said, we need you to dig a well. Now, we're building a retirement center, and they didn't even have a well yet. They didn't know how they were going to get water. They didn't know how they were going to get any of that. So we started digging, and about 2 inches under the soil was solid rock. And we're like, well, what do you want us to do now? And Pastor Donis said, dig the well. He said, well, this is a rock. Mm-hmm. Dig the well. And he was serious. We had a few younger fellows on our team then, but it looked like John Henry swinging sledgehammers and everything, just trying to break up. I thought, this is crazy. I thought, this is the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life. We are beating a hole in a rock is what we're doing. And Pastor Donis said this. He said, we have prayed for your team. We have prayed. This is a need. This is not something we want. This is something that we need. And we believe that God has brought your team here to strike water. And I thought to myself, you have a lot more faith in our team than our team has in our team. And yet we beat on that rock. And ironically, I never would have guessed it, but I mean, it started looking pretty. We got down literally a couple of feet in this rock, and something amazing happened. It started filling up with water. And I'm sitting there thinking, could somebody go get Pastor Donas? And of course, one of the workers that was there that was speaking Spanish, a language I don't know anything about, jumps up out of the hole, runs up, gets Pastor Donas, and in just a few minutes, every worker on that site was down around this hole, watching the water, celebrating. Pastor Donas stopped the whole job site to have prayer of thanksgiving to God. And I'm sitting there thinking, this is like a little trickle of water. And he looked in there and he goes, oh, this is perfect. He said, because what's happened is there's a spring, a natural spring coming into it over here. And there's another one coming into it over here. And we beat on that rock. And of course, the next day we came out, there was water actually in the bottom of this thing. And I'm sitting there going, only God. Now, let me tell you something. Their faith is different than our faith. It's a lot more pure. They didn't have any doubt. Matter of fact, they said, your team is going to be the team that's going to strike water. And I'm like, okay. And yet it happened. You see, what happened is they went on to take that hole and dug it down. We dug it down further, but what they did was they came in and poured concrete around it. Pastor Donas engineered this interesting system that is working to this day. That where those two springs fed in, they actually built concrete walls in there, and the springs fed into a chamber that was filled with charcoal on both sides, each spring. And what would happen was that water would fill, it would come up through the charcoal, and then they had little openings into a big cistern that was probably, what would you say, Mike, 12 or 14 by 12 or 14 feet wide, deep, and tall. And then once that water came through the filters, it would spill over into the built cistern that they had. And that they began to get these big, I call them tubs, like you'd see on the farms, but that they would put up on the roof because everything's gravity fed there. Now, those are at least 500 gallons apiece, and I believe they have 40 or better of them on the roof. So what they did was as the well would fill up, they would put a pump in there, and they would pump the water to the cisterns. They have not lacked for water since the day of the well. In fact, during one of the worst droughts that they ever had, the community would come to the retirement center for water from the well that the North Carolinians dug, that God anointed. That there were opportunities for them to be able to share the gospel message and to share what they had. People literally would come with jugs and basins simply to get water to keep their families alive. When everything was dead, the grass, the plants, and everything were burned up, the well never ceased. Now, what does that have to do with us? I just have a few minutes, but over in Genesis chapter 26, we read a passage about Isaac. Isaac is kind of about to go his way. You know, he's started towards Egypt, but God, in all of His grace, interrupted the trip and stopped him. You know, human nature doesn't improve from generation to generation, and Isaac was dwelling at Gerar, which is on the borderline. Now, that borderline means a couple of things as well. You know, there are many borderline Christians today. Now, Isaac, as we read in this particular passage, and I want to encourage you to read chapter 26 today because I just want to deal with a verse or two out of in the time that we have this morning. But Isaac had some material possessions there. But he did not have the spiritual blessings that God gave him later when he left that place. He had kind of repeated his father's sin, as it were. But then what happens is, even in the midst of God granting him some material possession, I want you to look with me, if you would, over into Genesis chapter 26. And I want to go to about verse 13. It says, Genesis chapter 26, 13 says, "The man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him." Verse 15, "Now the Philistines had stopped up all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, and they had filled them with earth." Did you get that? Stopped up the wells that Abraham and his people had dug. "And Abimelech said to Isaac, 'Go away from us, for you are much mightier than we.' Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there." Now, here's the verse I want us to get. If you don't get anything else today, get this. Verse 18 says, "And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by name which his father had called them." Now, I want to pause right there simply for just a moment, because I believe that in all of our hearts, we have had times in our lives that have been spiritually refreshing. We have seen God do incredible things. We've seen that on a personal level, and we have seen that on a corporate level. We have seen that in the church. We have seen God bless in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. The water from the well. You see, anytime that you look at water from the well in the Bible, it is relative to God's spiritual blessings along the way. Have you ever been out on a hot day and just been sweating like crazy, and just to have a good old cold drink of spring water? See, I grew up a hillbilly, man. We baled hay, and that was a hot, tiresome job. And you'd get thirsty, you'd get all that dust in your throat. And I can still remember that the boss's wife would come out. She'd bring lunch. I mean, it was a pickup truck lunch. And let me tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't a bologna sandwich. It was fried chicken and apple butter and homemade biscuits. That's the way we live, isn't it, Dina? Hallelujah. Missing home today. Brought that truck right out there in the field. And there was this cooler that had fresh spring water in it. And man, the biggest thing was, yeah, I'm sure that the COVID people would be crazy. We had the ladle. You'd get you a ladle. And man, that ladle of water was the best ever. Good, cold, refreshing spring water. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You see, the wells represent the spiritual blessings of God in our lives individually, in our families, and also in our church. But go back to verse 18. It said that Isaac went and again dug the wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his fathers. Why? You see it in that verse. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. Just despite them, the enemy went and filled in the wells that brought life. Folks, let me tell you something today. The enemy has tried and succeeded in filling many of our wells. Personally, as families, and as a church, the pandemic has filled some of our wells. Remember the ones that we used to go to for the refreshing drinks of spring water that poured from God Almighty? The enemy has filled them up. Does that mean that it's over? No. No, no. But you let me tell you what it does mean. It means that we need to be like Isaac in verse 18. And we need to again dig the wells. We have seen God do phenomenal things through this church. I look out over this congregation and I see well diggers. I've seen those who have dug the first wells. I see those who dug wells when there was no water. I see those who had the joy of being a part of seeing the formulation of this church when they hit water. JC and Roger. They dug the well that you and I have drank from for decades. They've spent their life trying to make sure that the enemy doesn't fill up the well. And you and I have come along and we have enjoyed that. And guess what else we did? We have done something that we need to do once again. Look at verse 19. You know, not only did they drink from the wells that were dug in the days of Abraham. Look what it says. It says in verse 19, also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. It is time to not only keep the old wells open, but it is time to dig some new wells. I thought about this illustration in so many ways. You know, here at Central Baptist Church, we don't drink from the same well that we used to, literally, because the new building is sitting on top of where the old well was. We had to dig a new well over here. And that's where water comes from. Listen, there's nothing wrong with drinking from the old well, but you've got to push forward and dig some new wells as well. Man, the Lord just slapped me with this one because I thought, and somebody said, hey man, what are you guys going to be doing in Cuba? I said, I don't know, but what this I do know, we're going to be digging a hole. There's more pictures of our team digging holes than there are just about anything else other than church. With a shovel-like thing. And you see, I think God allows us to be humble at times because when you have a shovel that's this long, that the handle's been broken and there's not really a handle on the end of it. And the spade doesn't look like a spade. It looks more like two V's because it's been used so much. We miss the modern conveniences that we have here. When you dig a well there, you don't back a rig up, put it up in the air and dig that way. No, no. You beat on a rock. A lot of these men have gone out to the farm and you've seen a well that they've been digging for a decade that's the same way, it's in solid rock, and they are still praying to God that someday they're going to hit water to be able to water the crops, to be able to feed the people at the retirement center. And day after day, they get back in that hole and beat on that rock. It is time to redig the well. It is time for you and I to redig the wells of spiritual blessing in our lives from the days of yesterday and also into the future. Isaac dug again the wells of his father. Those wells of water speak of the divine resources of God for the spiritual life. Jot this down in your Bible to read a little bit later, but John 4, verses 1 through 14, talking about spiritual water. Abraham had dug these wells, but the enemy had either stolen them or stopped them up. How true is this today? The spiritual wells which our fathers drank from have been taken from us by the world. And in some ways, we have allowed that. They have come in and taken it over. They've filled them up and tamped them over and dared us to do anything about them. It is time to redig those wells. Oh, we know where they are. We know what it's like. We've experienced it. We've experienced it in this church. We've experienced it when we reached more people than our facilities could hold. We've experienced it when God allowed us to build a structure to reach more people, and yet we've allowed the world and the enemy to cover up a lot of our wells. No, sir. It is time to redig those wells. It is time to redig the wells that Roger and JC initially dug 50 plus years ago. Because let me tell you something, that's where the cool, refreshing water is. Now, it don't mean that we don't go out and dig some new wells. We've got to do that. But how many of our wells are stopped up and we're drinking from the world? I like listening to country folk at times when they say, well, we're putting the water line down your road and we want you to tie on to it. And they go, no. Nothing like good old cold well water, is it? So I can turn the water on at my house in the summertime, you know, like to water the garden. And that water hose will just be wet with sweat because that water in the ground is so good and cold. And that all that hot, humid air out there is condensing on that water hose. Let me tell you something else. I'm a proud water hose drinking survivor. Proud to say that. Give me that hose. Give me a drink. Good, cold, well water. And yet, what's happened is we bought into what the world wants us to have. The world wants us to have some tepid nothing, and God wants us to redig the wells. Am I making my point? By the way, he wants us to do that on a personal level. Listen, the Holy Spirit has already shown you the wells that need to be redug. He's naming them right now. And he's also showing us that corporately. Get yourself out there. Grab a shovel and start digging. Got to open this well back up. See, why would the enemy want to fill up the well? Because that's where the good, refreshing water was. And you know what? If it was there before, it's there now. We just got to dig it back up. We know where it is. We've got the roadmap that tells us where it is. Those days again of great revival personally and corporately. The times when we're more concerned about finding and redigging the wells than we are the petty things that hold us down. Where do we start? Well, here, let me give you a place to start. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's number one. And then where do we go from there? Number two is love your neighbor as yourself. Sometimes we do pretty good with number one, but boy, we slip and fall on number two a lot, don't we? Some people are hard to love, aren't they? I've said this 1,000 times. There are people in your life that make you think of things that don't please Jesus. And you got to love them. I didn't say like them. I said love them. Well, they've done me wrong. Oh, the Bible also tells us that you are required to forgive them. I'm not going to do it. Yes, you are. You better forgive as you have been forgiven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 says, judge not lest ye be judged. And the Lord says, if you're going to hold that standard of judgment against your brother, if that's the standard you like, then I'll use that standard against you. Now, I don't know about you, but I need all the help I can get. I'm looking for grace. Grace is kind of odd. Grace is something that we love to receive, but surely hate to give. Don't we? That unmerited favor. Lord, have mercy and grace upon me. But I'm not giving it out. See, if we could get back to the basic wells, we'll go far. What am I talking about? What are you talking about, preacher? See, Isaac not only opened these wells again, but he called them by the same names that Abraham called them. Did you get that? He didn't have to give them some new fancy name. Father Abraham named them. This is what it was. How about let's just leave it like that? We don't have to call it something different. He went on to dig some new wells. Surely he did. But what are those wells? What are the wells we need to get back to? We need to get back to this. This doesn't need any help. Do you realize that? I don't care how many seminary classes you got. Nothing trumps this. Nothing. Right here. This is our guide. We need to get back to the well of prayer. We need to get back to the well of Bible study. We need to get back to the well of love. We need to get back to the well of burden and passion and concern. And all these wells exist, but we got to dig them back up. Amen? Because we've been distracted. And while we've been distracted for almost 3 years, you know what the enemy did? Started covering our wells up. And then we walk back and we go, doesn't look like it used to. Has that happened in your life? Well, church don't look like it used to. You're right, it doesn't. Does that mean we can't undig, redig the well? No. Families don't look like they used to. No, they don't. Does that mean we can't redig the well? No, it's still there. Are you hearing me? The wells that we've drank from in the success of the past are still there. We just got to dig them back up, open them back up. Some of y'all have some stubborn ditches in your life. I have a stubborn ditch in my life. It's out front. You know what that means? That means that when the water passes through it, it always brings silt. And what it does is it tends to want to stop up the drain tile. Y'all ever have that? Which means every now and then you got to get out there with a shovel and open it back up. Because if you don't, guess what's going to happen? Eventually, water's not going to pass through it anymore. It's going to puddle up. That's the verse I wanted you to get most of all this morning. Are we ready to redig the wells? Verse 18 of Genesis 26. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. We got to dig up the old wells. And then, verse 19, also Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. We need to dig some new wells. So guess what? Guys, you bunch of yellow shirt guys today, I guarantee you we're going to be digging a hole. That don't make you want to sign up for this trip. Folks, let me tell you something else out here. Members of Central Baptist Church, we're going to be digging a hole. Don't go wandering off. It was funny, when I first would go, you know, they have a different sort of a respect for the pastoral position. And years earlier when I would go there, when it would come time to dig a hole or something, they would take me out and they would have to show me the plans or the flowers or the cactus or whatever. I felt bad. Here are other team members just sweating bullets over there digging holes, probably thinking about things that don't please Jesus about me, because I'm over there going, oh, that's pretty. That's nice. Oh, don't get that preacher in that hole digging. Pastors are not supposed to be digging holes. They got to know me. They let me dig holes now. But it's different. Folks, we got to dig some holes. I want the cool, refreshing water that flows from the springs that have been dug by those who've gone before us, JC. Roger, Bill. That's good water, isn't it? Y'all remember those days? They can come back. We just got to dig the well. And we got to be more concerned about digging the well than we are who's watching or what's going on. Because a lot like Pastor Donas in Cuba, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I believe this team is going to strike water through the rock. Now, I hope that you believe in you more than I believed in our team that day. Because God's not done yet. I think He's just getting warmed up. And as long as we have life and breath, He expects us to dig the wells. It's nicer when you have some of those who are a little younger to come along because they can work a little longer. They can swing a pick a little harder. Sometimes, clink. But hey, God will get us there. I want to challenge each and every one of us today to redig the wells that God has placed in our personal hearts, our family's hearts, and in the life of our church. What well has He identified in your life today? I love listening to people say, I want to tell you one thing. Let's talk about the good old days. Well, okay, let's talk about the good old days. What were the good old days like? Where were you drinking from the well in the good old days? And you know the answer to that question. Well, you know what I would tell you to do? Go back to the well and drink from it again. Make that matter more than the trivial things that Satan likes to put before us. Have you noticed this? Have you noticed how since the pandemic, it's trivial junk that holds us back? Stuff that really doesn't amount to a hill of beans we will get all worked up over. In the grand scheme of things, is that really important? But we will ride that thing like Seattle Slough, won't we? We will let it hold us back. We will let it bother us. And Satan goes, look how much time I've made them waste. Look how many enemies I've allowed them to make. Look at God's people hating each other. Look at God's people destroying one another. Wow. I don't want that legacy to be mine personally, nor do I want it to be ours corporately as a church. I like what I learned growing up. You are either part of the problem or you are part of the solution. That's pretty easy, isn't it? You're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. So my question is, which one are you? Are you part of the problem or part of the solution? Now, if you sit back and go, I'm part of the solution, you better check again because all of us have been part of the problem somewhere along the way. But the question is, will we be a part of the solution? And if the answer is yes, then I'm going to ask you to grab your spiritual shovel and let's reopen the wells. We know where they are. Guys, we're going to probably open some kind of well or some kind of hole next week. As we think about the scriptures here, may we be reminded of that as we dig a hole. Every time we take a shower over there, I think about the fact that that water that's coming through the shower is coming from that well. Even when we're getting electrocuted, Mike. I think about the fact that when I watch the Cubans drink that water, it's coming from that well. They don't let us drink it. We have to drink Sierra Montoro salty bottled water. But I watch them mix concrete. It comes from that well. Every drop of water on that property comes from that well. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Life comes from the well. And if the well is stopped up and we can't get to the water, then there is no life. It is time to redig the well. Brad, I'm going to ask you and the musicians to take their place if they would. There's a time of invitation that God gives each and every one of us. A time of invitation is a time when we react to what it is that God has put on our heart personally and individually. It's a time for us to take steps in the right direction. Maybe you're here today and the Lord has said you hadn't touched a shovel in a long time. You don't even know where the wells are. All you're doing is busy running around being taken in by the world. And God says, I can take you to the markers of those wells where it was spiritually vibrant before. And all you got to do is dig it back up. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some blood. It's going to take some sweat. It's going to take some tears. But I promise it'll be worth it. Are you willing to pick the shovel back up and redig the well? Maybe today you just need to ask the Lord to speak to your heart, to show you the way, and He will. Maybe you just need to say, Lord, today I've realized I haven't been what you've needed me to be. And Lord, I've been distracted. Help me, Lord, to take up the challenge to be a part of redigging the well that others down the road might be spiritually refreshed, that I might be spiritually refreshed. Lead me and guide me, Father, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Listen, look for the signs that He gives you. Maybe you're here today and you've never begun that personal walk with Him. You're not one of His children. You're just hanging out with a family. I used to hang out with families that I wasn't a part of. But people think I'm part of it. I love it. You know, people look at Wesley and they'll say, where's your other son at? I'm like, oh, he's not with us today. He's just looked at as part of our family, because he is. Not biologically. But people identify him with the... See, there's too many people that are just identified as a Christian because they're hanging around with Christian people. Is that you? Maybe you need him in your life today. And the Holy Spirit has beckoned your heart. I'm begging you right now to make that change. To be able to bow your head and say, Father, I hear you. I'm a sinner. Save my soul. Help me live for you. In Jesus' name. And you know, if you did that and you meant that with all of your heart, that's just the beginning of the journey. It's not checking all your boxes off. It's the beginning of the journey. You've got a long ways to go. And it's going to be tough. But let me tell you, it'll be worth it. What has God put on your heart today? Listen, we still have an old-fashioned altar call around here. The altar's always open if you need it. If you need me, I'm here. Brad, as Brad steps up to lead us in our invitation with him, I'm going to beg you right now to do business with God in the way that He has convicted your heart, whatever it may be, that when you leave this place, you'll do so with peace in your heart and love in your heart, ready to get to it and redig the wells, okay? Stand with me as we sing our invitation hymn. Amen. God is good.
All the time.
He really is good. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to the front as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. And I'm going to throw a ballpark figure out of here. Team fees and everything else from Cuba. I think that we're somewhere around $18,000 to $20,000. That's a ballpark figure. Maury might be able to correct me. Is that about right? Between 18 and 20 that's come in. Again, like I say, if you still want to give, we'll still be more than happy to take it. We can find stuff to do with it. But I just wanted to thank you for your diligence and all that you've done in just being so faithful to this particular ministry. I can't wait to tell you what God's going to do over this next week. So let me just return thanks for the offering. I'll let you guys sit down. I know you've been standing for a while. Go ahead, y'all go ahead and sit down. God will hear us if we're seated. So I understand. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for the many, many blessings. And Lord, even seeing your hand, the way that you have functioned in our midst, and Lord, you've just done everything. Lord, we're getting ready to go on this trip. You have provided the resources through the conviction of your children. And Lord, I pray that you will take this amount. Lord, we think it's a lot, but it can be so much more with you being in it. Thank you for the ways that you have paved to make things, make this path straight for us to be able to go and to serve you. Now, Lord, right now, I pray that we will be faithful to give back to you. Lord, that your church may go forward and that the gospel may be preached. Father, bless the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of y'all knew what that was? That she played. People need the Lord. How fitting, they do. And the Word tells us, how will they know unless they're told? How will they be told unless they go? Thank you so much. I was sitting over there singing it quietly and to myself, but at any rate, listen, let me get you a couple of announcements. We get you out here. Finance meeting next week after church. So those on the finance team, don't forget that next week after church. Let's see what else we got. My discipleship group, 3:30 today in the conference room. I can't for the life of me remember this. What do we call the group? Is it the Oak Ridge Gospel Singers? What are we going with? Where is Leonard? Are we going with Oak Ridge Gospel Singers?
I got CBC Classic Gospel Singers.
That's it. CBC Classic Gospel Singers. Yeah, because it's more than four, so we can't be a quartet. We don't want to be a quintet or whatever else you call it. Anyway, y'all are looking, it's going to be a real treat once we get some I's dotted and some T's crossed, which is coming up pretty soon. But those singers, The CBC gospel singers will have practice at 4:30 in the choir room of the new building over here. So 4:35 for that. Choir practice is at 5 o'clock here. That's the reason why you, when y'all get done, you'll come straight on over here to choir practice. Also, Awana today at 5:30 p.m., just like just its normal time. Adult Bible study in here, 6 o'clock p.m. With David. Band rehearsal, sanctuary at 7 after the nightly prayer service. Bible study. Boo! After church tonight, the band's going to practice. There we go. Don't forget our bi-monthly blood drives coming up this coming Tuesday, 2:30 to 7 o'clock. Katie's back there. If you can be of any assistance, please let Katie know. What's on the menu?
Chicken pie and whatever Sandy's making.
So, you know, hey, that's worth giving blood for. That's how I started giving blood. I wanted something they had, and then Peggy Nelson told me I couldn't have it unless I gave blood. And I said, well, I'll show you. So I've been giving blood ever since. But at any rate, just remember those things. Those are things that we do have that are coming up. Men's breakfast, that's a weekly event. If you want to join that, that's Wednesdays at 10 a.m. every Wednesday at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. I know those guys would love to have you go down there and help share in how to properly dispose of groceries. Which we can do very, very well. Birthdays. Judy Raines has one today, right? Today is Miss Judy's birthday. Give her a hug, harass her a little bit, give her a hand. And then tomorrow, our very own Don Ree Howerton will have a birthday. Don Ree, we love you. Another trip around the sun, as they say. Also, as I'm going to get David to come up and close us in prayer in just a second, but do continue to keep Sandy in your prayers as she recovers. It's so great to see her here today. And also, we want to keep Madeline Swaney in our prayers. Madeline will be having surgery coming up this week. They did find, and I'm not sure exactly how to say it, but I think it's Doc will probably help me out. It's like endometriosis cancer. Did I say that right? Okay, uterine cancer. Thank you, Doc. He's keeping me straight. But at any rate, they do believe that this is something that they have caught early, so she will be having surgery this coming Tuesday. Madeline was here just a moment ago, but keep her in your prayers. She is very upbeat with the circumstances and situations, and I love what she said. She said, God's got this. We know that for sure. So at any rate, I'm sure I've left 10,000 things out, but that's okay. I thank you for the extra time. I thank you for the prayers for our team as we prepare to leave. We will congregate at 5 a.m. at Piedmont Triad International Airport this coming Friday morning. Once again, just to let you know, our flight will leave there at 7. We'll fly into Miami. We will have a few hours layover in Miami. Then we will go straight on into Santiago. So we should be getting into Santiago, Cuba, 5-6 o'clock on Friday evening. We will do our missions there until the following Thursday. We usually come back on Friday, but this time we have to come back on Thursday because we have to overnight in Miami, and we will come back from Miami and get into Greensboro Friday night. So pray for us even once we get back to Miami, because that's like another foreign country. David Miller, our associate pastor, would you please come see us off in a word of prayer? Please keep our team in your prayers. We need it.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love for us and your watch care over us. Lord, for we have many that are recovering from surgery and those who are looking at surgery in the future. Lord, we lift them up to you today and ask that you minister to their needs. And Father, we are aware of the fact that people need the Lord in Cuba and in Oak Ridge and in North Carolina. So Lord, as we go from this place today, help us to go with a prayer on our hearts about these men who are going to Cuba. Once again, we ask for your blessings in their lives. May God help us to be the missionaries here in Oak Ridge. And wherever we go, to remember that people need the Lord and help us to share that love of Jesus with them. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.